Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, it's the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. All the roads are open. All the crossings are open. Many of them are going to close on Monday or Tuesday. Just check the Facebook page for more. Apparently, they're not working today, tomorrow, or Sunday, but Monday and Tuesday, they're going to be back to it. Yay, good times. Julio Diaz is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard on Saturdays here on News Radio 4 o'clock, and also of the Pensacola Movie Club, founded that on Facebook. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
First one, you guys watched, what, A Real Pain? Is that right?
Yes, that's the title of the film.
Is that a bio of Andrew McKay? What is this?
No. Well, I mean, you know, I could understand where you might make that mistake, although there are people that I think are more of a pain than you are.
Oh, you say the sweetest things. Look at you.
I could think of, I mean,
you
like,
must be a married man.
if you have that 1 to 10 pain scale that you see at the doctor's office, I mean, you might come in around a 3. I can think of some real tough.
Oh, I had myself at a 6. So excellent. Okay, so Jesse Eisenberg directed, wrote, and
yes,
also
he wrote it. He wrote it, good word.
And he's in it. And?
Yeah, and he did write it, good word. This is actually a very good movie. I was actually very surprised. I don't know why I was surprised, because I do think a lot of him is an actor. I think he's an intelligent guy, but I think this is his debut as a writer and director, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, all right.
At least debut feature. And very, very good. It's him and Kieran Culkin are kind of the two characters at the center of this. It's really almost a two-hander. It's these two guys are cousins. They were once very close, but they've grown apart a little bit as they've gotten older. And their grandmother has passed, and she left them some money to go on this tour of Poland to see where she grew up. She was a woman who had escaped the Holocaust.
Oh,
and,
okay.
She came to the States and, you know, like many immigrants, built a better life for her family here in the States. And, you know, these two young men are the beneficiaries of that. And so they've gone to kind of reconnect with each other and connect with their roots. And it's actually a very funny movie. This is a comedy, although it's like a dramedy, you know, there's definitely some drama to it. It's not like, you know, it's not like one of those like silly road trip. Haha. Look at all this. It's not Planes, Trains and Automobiles or anything like that. It's more of a,
which you know, love to be clear. But it's not that.
Yeah. No, love Lane Trains and Automobiles,
good.
But this
good.
Is this
sure.
is not
okay.
that kind of movie. This is a bit more serious, but still very funny. Really good supporting cast, including a middle-aged woman who's part of this tour group that they're on, who I thought was just a riveting performance. And I was like, gosh, I wonder who that actress was. And then her name comes up at the end of the credits, and it's Jennifer Grey.
Oh, wow. We haven't seen from her, anything from her. That's
her
amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Did not recognize her at all, but she's fantastic in it. But really, the center of this movie is Eisenberg and Culkin and the two of them playing off each other. And it's a really good movie. It's a really strong film. It's one we may see in the Oscar contention, I think, you know. I don't know if it ends up a Best Picture contender. I think it's one of my top 10 films of the year right now, but we got a lot of stuff still to come as the race goes into play. And we just found out that Oscar's going to be hosted by Conan O'Brien next year.
Oh, okay. All right. Interesting. Yeah. Red One, this is, I think, the first of the big Christmas releases, right?
We had a couple of Christmas releases last week as well. So, we're definitely getting into the holiday movie season. This is one that you're probably not going to see too much of at the Oscars next year, however, unfortunately. If we're talking about being on the naughty list or the nice list, and that's kind of what this movie's all about. Santa is, who's played by Oscar winner J.K. Simmons, so we do have at least one Oscar winner in this, goes missing or is kidnapped, and his team, which is headed up by his I guess, bodyguard, played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, of course, okay, because that would obviously be Santa's bodyguard.
The natural elf in the casting call. Yeah, sure, go on.
Yeah, yeah. They have to recruit a, I think in the trailers they call him a level 4 naughty lister to help them recover Santa, who is played by Chris Evans.
Okay. But it's not good? Even with Lucy Liu, it's not good?
Yeah, you know, great cast and seems like it was like a fun premise, but running about 38% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think this is probably going to be one that audiences like more than critics.
Oh, yeah, and, right, families or whatever. Okay.
Yeah, families will probably have a good time with this, but don't go looking for any kind of, you know, critical acclaim.
Last one, Albany Road?
Yeah, this one wasn't screened for critics, and I'm not quite sure why, because it seems like it would be something that would be quite interesting. It's about a woman who has to share, speaking of planes, trains, and automobiles, kind of similar concept, a woman who ends up having to share a rental car with her ex-fiancé's mother on a car trip.
Okay.
And the secrets come out during this car trip. Renee Elise Goldsberry is the lead in this, who, if you know her from anything, you probably know her from Hamilton. She was She was the leading Skylar sister in Hamilton, Angelica. But not screened for critics on this for some reason. Not sure why.
What are you going to watch next week?
Well, you want to talk about getting into the big holiday movie season. This is the big choice next week is kind of really the kickoff of that. We've got Wicked opening and we've got Gladiator 2 opening.
Oh, God. Yeah. How do you pick?
They seem to be going. I think they're trying to duplicate Barbenheimer. And
right.
I don't know if that's going to work, but we'll make a choice. And
Wickedator.
We'll, let's know on Facebook group. Yep.
Wickedator.
Yeah, I tried to come up with a joint name last night, and I wasn't having a lot of luck with it either.
I think Wickedator. I think we've got a winner there. Hey, by the way, we're going to see you in about 20 minutes. You'll be here for the wrap, so good for that. This is goodbye for now, but Julio Diaz, host Let's Go Pensacola, Saturdays at 4, and also the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow him on Facebook, and we'll see you in just a few minutes. Julio?
Sounds good, Anderson.
All right. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Well, good news. No accidents to report right now, neither nor delays.
I mean,
I can't believe I said that.
Happy Friday.
I-10, I-1 to influence smoothly. Even Highway 90 coming into Pensacola from Pace is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Kick off the holidays with WSRE's Festival of Trees and take home the tree of your dreams. Trees and wreaths, decorated by local designers, will be on display November 15th through the 17th in the WSRE Amos Studio at Pensacola State College. Each will be up for auction and for sale in support of WSRE PBS and the programs you love. Catch the spirit of the season at WSRE's Festival of Trees. There'll be free photos with Santa and holiday music, too. Admission is free.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
That's my timer letting me know that it's time to check the Slow Smoke Barbecue at Sonny's. It's also a reminder that it's time to book your holiday party or catering. We love to serve your business or organization a delicious prime rib to celebrate all your hard work with catering from our four locations serving the greater Pensacola area. We also have banquet rooms at our Navy Boulevard and 9th Avenue locations. And speaking of the holidays, give the gift of barbecue and a convenience of a gift card. Sweet and smoky ribs sure do make a mess of those Christmas stockings. Go to sonnysbarbecue.com to find your nearest location and all the details on our holiday catering services.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for actress Robin Wright. Due to her refusal to repent for her portrayal of Jenny Curran, the on-again, off-again romantic partner of Forrest Gump. During an interview with the Sacred and Holy New York Times, you know, all the liberalism that's fit to print, Wright was asked if she thought her character Jenny was an anti-feminist role. She replied, "No, it's not about that. She was kind of selfish." Wrong again, Robin. Jenny was far more than just selfish. She was the very embodiment of every sexist view of women you've ever heard. Without a husband to protect her from herself, she falls into drug use and prostitution, which we don't judge her for, of course. But this leads her to contracting and ultimately dying from AIDS and needing Forrest to rescue her and their son from her bad choices. If only this misguided and frail princess of a character had stayed with the steadfast and faithful Prince Charming who loved her, all her woes could have been avoided. Instead, she kept betraying him only to repeatedly return to him for validation and support. A completely anti-feminist character. And for her to refuse to condemn this role is unacceptable. Now, some will say it's unfair for us to hold an actress accountable for a movie she made before some of our finer woke-alites were even born. These heathen will even say it's impossible to keep up with the ever-changing standards of our religion. They'll ask, how can we do right if a movie that was nominated for 13 Academy Awards, winning 6 including Best Picture, just 30 short years ago, can be so unacceptable now in the year of our Rainbow 2024? But need I remind you of the 8th principle of wokeness? Morality must be ever-changing, shifting, and progressing. It is only by becoming that we can ever truly be. How else can we know who is properly adapting to the times and who's stuck in the past? We aren't conservatives, you know, the sort of people who believe in tradition, continuity, consistency, and stability over time. In other words, it's the very essence of our religion that we must constantly be rejecting that which we stood for yesterday. As we sometimes say in small group, revise, Forrest, revise. But notice that Jenny isn't the only problem with the film, which also features a neurotypical Tom Hanks playing the alternately abled neurodivergent title character, and also an able-bodied Gary Sinise playing a paraplegic, both of which are clear violations of the Global Compact to Stop Ableism and Body Capability Appropriation of 2018. And don't get me started on how the movie makes a mockery of the important anti-war protests of the 70s, winks and nods at a criminal President Nixon, and totally ignores important historical issues around race and militarism. However, we do like the way it exposes capitalism as a giant game of luck, separating the fortunate sons who buy the lucky apple stock or have their shrimp boat in the right place during a hurricane from those who poor, unfortunate souls suffering failure and poverty through no real fault of their own. But these small pluses certainly do not outweigh the massive minuses. No, dear Otherin, we are not a smart people, but we know what virtue is. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the Swamp Foxes of Navy Helicopter Maritime Strike Squadron 74, who recently visited Naval Air Station Pensacola and took some photographs for the Defense Visual Information Distribution Service, usually referred to as DVIDS, in which they were sporting an extremely offensive squadron arm patch. The patch depicts two Tusken Raiders, or Sand People, from Star Wars, wielding their iconic gaffy stick in the crosshairs of a targeting site with the words, Houthi Hunting Club Red Sea 2023-2024. Referring to the Fox's activities against Yemeni freedom fighters while stationed aboard that edifice of military industrial fascism, the USS Eisenhower. Look, it's bad enough we live in a country that squanders so much of its productivity on imperialist bellicose adventurism around the world, But selecting innocent Muslim idealists for airborne slaughter and then dehumanizing them by comparing them to a racist stereotype in a science fiction movie is just completely beyond the ebony. Sand people? For Arabs? Surely you must be joking. And although the pictures in the post have now been removed, without an explanation, by the way, the patches remain available for sale online. Now, someone might ask, how we know it's racist to compare an actual people group to an imaginary band of tribal warriors from science fiction? But if anything, the fictional nature of the people being used here makes the racism even worse. These defenders of white supremacy culture may even claim it's a form of respect, since the Tuscan Raiders were fierce and crafty fighters who always traveled in a single file to conceal their numbers, unlike the clumsy stormtroopers with their disorganized troop movements and inaccurate blaster fire. But don't you see that comparing our honorable Yemeni Muslim revolutionary otherin to these mutants of the Jungan Wastes as savages because they also inhabit a sandy desert like Tatooine is clearly a racial slur rooted in the whitest of trope-mongering. What, will you start referring to them as Bantha jockeys? I don't think so. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, I know I don't need to remind you of that horribly apocalyptic election last week when he who Whoopi shall not name inexplicably won re-election to the presidency in spite of everything he's done to deprive women of access to safe and essential reproductive health. Nevertheless, one of the most encouraging things we saw in the aftermath of that atrocity was the online furor of tens of devoted liberal women pledging to punish the men in their lives for the election outcome by depriving them of sex for the duration of the presidency. Yes, these devout and saintly feminists are engaging in a sex strike. No sex, no dating, no marriage, and no having children with men for the next 4 years or until abortion access is restored. Asking fellow devotees to join the protest, delete their dating apps, and become unswipeable for chilling, these brave ladies are saying, as one did, if men won't respect our bodies, they don't get access to our bodies. As another brave woman said, I personally think if all these men are voting to take our rights away, they don't deserve to touch a woman for the next 4 years, so hope you thought that through, guys. Now, yes, I'm aware that some snarky critics from the misogynosphere have quipped that these women appear to be responding to the loss of access to abortion by engaging in sexual abstinence. They say this actually proves the point that taking away abortion access is a useful tool for making people follow traditional morality. Still, others have postulated that if enough liberal women take themselves off the sexual marketplace, horny men, by which we mean men, will instead mate only with conservative women and thereby breed more conservatives, thus dwindling the domestic supply of children raised in woke homes. But if you had merely consulted your Holy Handbook of Idiocracy, Volume 7, Chapter 4, you would see that we already have control of the schools and we don't need the parents to be woke as long as we can indoctrinate the children into our ways while they're in our care during the school day. So if we're trying to do the right thing by punishing men for being men, regardless of whether they personally deserve it, we say, well done, ye anti-sexual feminists of America. Way to engage in abstinence for Kamala. I'm sure she'll appreciate it. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Refreshments this week are provided by Fool Me Twice, the famous grill house serving up delectable plant-based imitation burgers with non-dairy soy-based imitation cheese that is sure to give your tummy a run for its money. Yes, at Fool Me Twice, their certified Food Without a Face compliant double imitation non-burger is sure to make you run into the back room again and again. Fool Me Twice, you can really taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Pull it together, Jeff. You have to do traffic.
We're running to the bathroom again and again. Oh, my goodness. Traffic is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No new accidents to let you know about right now. Actually, I-10, I-110 are looking really good, even Highway 29 all the way through. I'm proud of you. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
So I feel the need to just say this because there might be the occasional person who has never listened to this show, tunes in for the first time and hears me calling the USS Eisenhower an edifice of fascism and making fun of the helicopter strike group. Satire people. Satire. I love them, and I would buy one of those patches. That's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. But that is a real story, by the way. They're always real stories. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Doug, the Department of Government Efficiency is looking for super high IQ small government revolutionaries that want to work 80 hours plus per week on unglamorous cost cutting. They've posted on X. They say any interested applicants can DM them there. Elon Musk retweeted that post and said it'll be, quote, tedious work, you'll make lots of enemies, and the compensation is zero. So it sounds like a good
job. Stop overpromising.
The highly anticipated showdown between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul happens tonight. That bout had been rescheduled from July after Tyson suffered a medical issue. Netflix is streaming the fight between Tyson and Paul live from Arlington, Texas. And today's National Day, Andrew, is National Clean Out Your Fridge Day.
According to Whirlpool, cleaning the fridge is the most hated household chore. But it's gross. With 11.4 million germs per square centimeter, that's about the area of your fingernail. They say the meat and veggie drawer are the worst offenders. A one-poll survey says you probably have about five expired items in there, from forgotten leftovers to I don't know what that was. Inside needs some cleaning love, but the door handle does too. I'm Bree Tennis.
Only five? Also, I feel so condescended to that she had to explain what a square centimeter is. What are we, Americans, that we don't know what? Oh, I suppose that's true. David, thanks so much for the update. The wrap is up next. Julio Diaz and Jeremy Evans. We might talk about, has there been political news this week? I don't know.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. President-elect Donald Trump at a Mar-a-Lago gala previewing his nomination of North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum for Interior Secretary. To manage a wide range of federal lands and natural resources, Burgum says unlocking American energy is the key to taming food inflation and the future of AI.
Got to focus on that for two reasons. One is the price to the consumer, but the other is we need the electricity to win this AI battle.
And President-elect Trump nominating Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to make America healthy again as Health and Human Services Secretary wins an unexpected supporter. Colorado's Democrat Governor Jared Polis says he's excited by the news, most optimistic about RFK shaking up the FDA, Big Pharma, and corporate ag. The Friday night fight tonight, Mike Tyson versus YouTuber Jake Paul in Texas, not on pay-per-view, but on Netflix. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, sunshine. It is 57 degrees, starting to warm up. It's a beautiful morning here in Pensacola. And as the panhandle continues, wondering just who's going to replace Matt Gaetz in the U.S. House, we do have a few names to cross off that list of potential candidates. State Representative Alex Andrade told News Radio 92.3 he wasn't interested in that job. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves has released a statement saying he's focused on his job as mayor and says his heart will remain in Pensacola, so he's not interested. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons also commenting that he is committed to the citizens of Escambia County and says his responsibilities as sheriff are his priority. Now, so far, some of the names that have been mentioned include possibly former Pensacola Mayor Ashton Hayward, former State Senator Doug Broxson, Okaloosa County Superintendent Mark Chambers, State Representative Michelle Salzman, and various others. It is expected there will be a Republican primary for the District 1 House seat. On the Democrat side, Gay Valamont is expected to resume her campaign as well. Today, we'll have the first female skipper for NAS Pensacola. Captain Chandra Newman is taking command of the installation in just about an hour and a half during a change of command ceremony at the National Naval Air Museum. Newman is a Florida native. She received her wings in August of 2004 and previously served with the Helicopter Sea Combat Squadron and as the commander of Naval Air Force's Leadership, Education, Growth, Advocacy, Culture, and Youth Outreach. Outgoing Commander Captain Terry Village Shishati is retiring after a 26-year Navy career. The city of Pensacola has approved a redevelopment plan for Hollis T. Williams Park. Work begins next year on the initiative to reconnect the historically black neighborhood, which was separated when the I-110 overpass was built.
This framework plan that's being voted on tonight is this holistic effort to say, not only are we building this park, but we're being mindful of everything that happens. How do we connect people to the park? Is it safe to walk, to bike, safe to walk? How about neighbors that have lived there for 40 or 50 years? You build a new park across the street, that could impact them in some ways.
That's Mayor D.C. Reeves. He tells Channel 3 the project will ultimately reconnect the neighborhood. Work is expected to start next year with stormwater infrastructure improvements. Eventually, they'll move on to creating green space and walking trails and then focus on drawing business to the area and building affordable housing. The stormwater projects are expected to go out to bid sometime here in the next few weeks. Well, we learned this week that Florida set some new tourism records for the third quarter of the year, and Escambia County, no exception to that. Visit Pensacola says there were more than 2.5 million visitors that came to our area here over the last fiscal year, and they expect those numbers to continue growing. 2024 broke the record for the highest collections in tourism taxes at more than $22 million.
There's a lot of services that are paid for by visitors that if we didn't have those visitors paying those additional, it would either be an additional burden on our residents or those services just wouldn't be available.
That's Darren Schaefer with Visit Pensacola, and he says the tourism taxes benefit both visitors and locals. The numbers are expected to continue growing thanks to large events like the SEC women's soccer tournaments, food festivals, and, of course, two annual Blue Angels air shows. 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Even 98 going through Fort Walton Beach. No accidents there. No traffic backups. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast with Marion Caldwell.
Feeling the effects of a cold front on this Friday morning. Temperatures in the middle to lower 50s across the Pensacola area going into the afternoon. Still going to be on the cooler side, only going to top out in those lower 70s. Lots of sunshine on tap heading into tonight. Waking up tomorrow morning, temperatures will be in the lower 50s to upper 40s. Yet again, with temperatures staying in the lower 70s through the weekend. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Morning Weather Update.
Thank you very much, Marion. 57 right now in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze. 56 in Milton. Your money now. This morning we've got a down start to the markets. The Dow is down 143.5 points, 43,607.35. S&P 500 down 44 points at 59,04.97. The NASDAQ down 239 points at 18,868. 10-year bond rate today up just a bit at 4.491%. Gold prices up 560 at 25.78.30. Silver prices up 32 cents, 30.89. And Bitcoin is up 8.19.73 right now at 88.866. The rest of the crypto market looks fairly mixed. The number of kids being suspended or expelled from preschool is reportedly on the rise. Joe McCoy reports that research from the Institute for Early Education Leadership and Innovation took a closer look. And that study found that boys are expelled at a higher rate than girls, and kids with disabilities are also more likely to be suspended. Now, the company that plans to run an overnight service from Los Angeles to San Francisco has hired a team to design trains.
Newport Beach startup Dreamstar Lines wants to use existing tracks to run luxury sleeper trains. It announced on Thursday that DesignWorks, a subsidiary of BMW, will design its trains. The train cars will feature first-class suites with bedrooms and restrooms. The company says passengers could board the train at night in one city and wake up in another. It's unclear when the route will launch, but Dreamstar has suggested the summer of 2025. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Thank you very much, Tammy. The Onion is purchasing Alex Jones' InfoWars. The satirical newspaper and digital media company won an auction for Jones Free Speech Systems in bankruptcy court.
Alex Jones announced the sale on Thursday morning. The funds generated will go toward paying more than $1 billion worth of damages to families of victims of a school shooting who he defamed by falsely claiming the massacre was a hoax. Jones will continue to broadcast via an alternative channel, calling his critics, quote, fools. In fitting form for the satirical website, The Onion's press release announcing the purchase was written in the voice of a CEO of Global Tetrahedron, a fictional evil company created by Onion staff. Benji Hire, Washington.
And it is 8:38. Your next news at 9. We've got breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Hey, if you've got problems with the plumbing, you've got to fix a drip, a leak, you want to reclaim the Tupperware, you're better than that, please. You can do better. Or you need to fix something that you fix it, you maybe anti-fixed it. I'm guilty. Call Barbary Plumbing. They'll come out and take care of it for you. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes. They were great when they repaired my repair. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing.
Everybody jump! Jump! I said a hip, hop, the hip, it, the hip, hip, hop, you don't stop.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle
up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the end of the week. Last hour of the broadcast, 20 hours. And so we like to have a couple of friends here in studio to talk over the events of the week, if only there had been any. Julio Diaz, who, by the way, Julio is one of the original rappers before it was the rap, because he was on... what did we even call it when we did the commissioners and we got together at the bar?
Oh,
this is
yeah,
years
that just
ago.
Popped up in my Facebook memories.
Brew, barley, day. Hops, and headliners.
That's it. Yeah,
headliners and hops. Yeah. So he was one of the very original panelists for that. Welcome back, Julio. Good to have you.
Thank you.
And also Jeremy Evans, who we've had on many, many, many times. And not quite an original, but close.
Yeah.
Close. A longstanding tenured participant. Okay. So... First of all, I want to, Julio, give you a chance. You had an announcement you wanted to make about Pensacon. I want to make sure you give you that before we do anything else.
Yeah, we just this morning started making it available a new two-day ticket. We know people are very budget conscious right now, and maybe some people feel like they can't afford to come all weekend long. So if you would like to still come enjoy as much of Pensacon as you can and stretch your dollars a little more, we have a ticket available now where you can come Friday and Sunday, so you can enjoy two full days of the con. For $74.99 plus tax, so it's cheaper than our three-day ticket. It's also cheaper than buying two individual day tickets when those go on sale.
Okay.
So, you know, great deal maybe to bring the family out. Remember, kids 10 and under are free too. So you can get a ticket for yourself, bring your son, your daughter, or your niece, nephew. Some strange child you meet on the street. Oh, no, hey,
whatever it takes. If they're in costume, they're in costume. I like the idea of, because I know Saturday is the big day, that you're offering people a chance to go around the big days. And some people, you know, I mean, some people love the crowd. Some people would rather be when there's not. So I love that as an option. That's cool. You just announced that this morning?
Just this morning, yes.
Outstanding. Okay, so I want to talk about the big story of the week. It's obviously on everybody's minds. It's the only thing that anybody's talking about. Mike Tyson and Jake Paul.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well... we're going to get to all the politics stuff in a minute, but I did want to start with this because who and in how many rounds?
I just greatly enjoyed the weigh-in photo of Mike Tyson slapping him in the face.
That, and in his little tighties, you know, and he's just very fit. That 58-year-old, I didn't want to run into Mike Tyson back in the day anywhere. Not today. Oh, my God. Scares me.
And I think the other part of this that kind of crosses over into Julio's world is Netflix getting into live events.
Yep.
And so I think that this is, I think Netflix has this event. I think Netflix bought like one of the wrestling, they're going to broadcast one of the wrestling things starting in January as a live event. And as you're kind of seeing the world, as people are continuing to cut the cord and these streaming services, Netflix has never really won anything live, and now they're getting into this market. So I'm far more interested in that part of it than the box, although I probably will watch if I'm at home at least a few minutes of it.
That's all it'll last, by the way.
I won't watch, but I do think that Paul has a very punchable face. And I think that if he wants to really make money, instead of like getting in the ring with Mike Tyson and possibly dying, because, you know,
anything's possible.
I mean, I've met Evander Holyfield.
Yeah.
You know, I have an idea of what, you know.
What you're dealing with.
What you're dealing with there. I think that he should just, you know, let people line up if for $10, $10 a piece, take a pop in the face. Yeah.
I think he could get way more than $10.
Yeah, $10,000 probably a piece,
I mean,
right? Yeah.
I'd go as high as 50.
So, my theory about this is if Mike Tyson does Mike Tyson style, it'll be bad. And if he plays with him a little bit at first, and then, I mean, that's I will make a buck on 100.
I will.
If you're willing to bet with me,
I will say this. In defense of Jake Paul, every time he's had one of these boxing matches with somebody, people have said he has no business being in there.
Yeah.
And then he ends up either winning or doing better than expected. And so it's easy to count him out because he has a punchable face. He's a big personality, podcast guy,
fluffy,
not really
and Mike
a boxer.
Tyson is fit.
But I do think he takes it seriously enough that he has trained and done the things and he has shown himself decently in his previous outing.
And we all know there's no history whatsoever of corruption in boxing. So, you know,
it's
not like semi-professional boxing might not have, yeah.
And this is where there's like nothing on the line either, except for, yeah, no, you're right about that. Okay, so obviously the real big news of the week is that, you know, President Trump continues to roll out his nominees to great applause or consternation or just sheer befuddlement. I've had all three to various ones. Pete Hegseth, I'm completely befuddled. Robert Kennedy Jr., I get it. I think it's weird. Matt Gaetz, of course, locally is the big one. I mean, the idea of having somebody from, you know, our area be the attorney general potentially. So, Jeremy, you're the super connected political insider. The main thing that I've been saying is whatever you think of him as the pick, does he actually have the ability to get the job? And how will that play out?
Well, I think that those confirmation hearings will be the most entertaining of the all of the possible confirmations. My belief is that Susie Wiles, who had run his campaign, is going to be the White House chief of staff.
Mm-hmm.
She brings organization to chaos.
Absolutely.
And I don't think they would have made him the nominee unless they felt very confident they could get him through the confirmation process.
I totally agree.
And so I don't know what it looks like, but I do think that they believe with confidence he's going to get through the confirmation process.
Now, see, so I think it's – when I say I agree with you, I know that's how she's going to think. I'm just looking at it and thinking, oh, my God, I can't see a here to there. I see it through recess appointment, I don't see it through the actual nomination process.
It's going to be ugly.
Confirmation.
It's going to be ugly, but in the end, they're going to give Trump what he wants. And I'll go on the record right now. I will predict he's going to lose Murkowski. He might lose Collins. Mm-hmm. Everybody else votes for him.
So he'll get 51.
I think
51
the other,
or depending on how the Pennsylvania recount goes.
Okay, for sure.
I think that it is dependent. The other piece of this is – Matt is a firebrand. He's proud of being a firebrand.
Which Matt's going to be in the confirmation hearing? Because he can be message discipline.
But I think that there is part of this that Matt has people who love him. Matt has people who don't care for him very much. That there could be some people who vote for him to get confirmed. Just he's now yours.
Yeah,
he's no longer
your
part
problem.
Of our mm-hmm. team. He's yours. And I could see there being some of that that's already had.
I do think what Julio says about, you know, look, Trump wields all the power right now.
Yeah.
And so senators, you know, the idea of the legislature is check and balance, right? Both directions. Yeah. Will Republican senators feel like they're able to do that facing potential reelection or retribution of whatever sort Trump will bring?
Well, they'll make some noise. They'll hold their breath. They'll hold their nose.
They'll act
it,
surprised
but
they'll
and then
they'll
it.
Vote.
And that's why I'm like iffy on Susan Collins, because Susan Collins is always the one that says, oh, no, this is terrible, terrible,
and then votes
for it anyway.
Right.
So
let's get a quick traffic break. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No new accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. So then the question is, the other side of this that's the most interesting is, of course, who's going to be in that seat? Now, I had looked at the names, and I thought I came up with 30 or 35 names, and I keep coming up with more. In fact, I have one that I'm not going to share that I have a private secret expectation might actually be quite a contender who's not on anybody's list that I know of. But I don't want to say it because I don't want to just involve myself. I don't want to make somebody be a candidate. But we'll see.
I have a bold prediction.
So go on.
It's going to be a Republican.
Oh, look at you out on a limb. Well done. How do you know? How dare you? What do you hate about Gabe Alamont?
Just a strong feeling that, you know, looking at how the elections have gone in this district for the past...
What were we, plus 19?
Forever? Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I actually looked at the vote that Matt Gaetz got in the election that we just had, which seems like it was 300 years ago, but
it
was
does.
Last week.
It was last week.
Yeah. I could see maybe special elections are weird. Maybe a Democrat takes Escambia County because Matt's only been getting about 57% of the vote in Escambia. Mm-hmm. But the other three counties in the district, it's like 70% Republican vote.
Well,
it's,
in fact, it was something like that that Alex said when I talked to him yesterday, Alex Andrade. It was not about Democrats. It was more about which Republican. And his theory was that maybe the superintendent from Walton Marcus, what's his name? I forget his last name.
Marcus Chambers.
Yeah, Marcus Chambers, or somebody like a Nathan Boyle, somebody who's not as well-known in the Escambia Center, wrote about very well-known in Okaloosa County, that in the primary, a non-Escambia Santa Rosa person might take the plurality against five or six locals because they're the only outsider and they, you know, I don't know how it's going to, you have a really interesting theory about this though, Jeremy.
Again, like I said earlier, Susie Wiles is extraordinarily organized. They are going to put the power of the President Trump name and the mandate behind all of this. And I think whoever is the nominee, President Trump is going to endorse a candidate in all of these races, and I think whoever is the person...
All these races like Mike Walz, Matt Gaetz,
wherever
Doug Collins, right.
We're going to see him endorse a candidate in a primary, and whoever that candidate is going to clear a field of what you would consider to be the strong candidates of a field. So I think that the Frank Whites, the, you know, Salzmans, all of those people are going to get whittled down to one person. And then if you're a state representative, the state legislative delegation, they have to resign to run.
Right, exactly.
And so I think some of those folks may be reluctant to run. A guy like Mike Kohler, who's a county commissioner, he doesn't have to resign to run. So there's kind of a nothing to lose situation for him if he chooses to
run.
And
he's kind of hinted at that possibility.
Yeah, and
which I think
that
is
Carolyn Ketchell,
because I don't think Mike is anywhere close to the level of name recognition or connections. Right. That even
but
I like
did,
him a lot,
did,
but
he worked on the past two Trump campaigns. And so he kind of has that route. Carolyn Ketchell in Okaloosa County is another name of a county commissioner who could possibly do something like that. But I believe that the President Trump, his team, they're going to select somebody. And there are some people who have some positives and some negatives when it comes to trying to secure that endorsement to win the Republican primary and then
move on. We don't think that it's automatically Daddy.
Don Gaetz?
Yeah.
I actually think that's unlikely, personally.
Really?
I mean,
it seems like the no-brainer to me. I mean, I personally...
Well, you know what would be interesting about that?
If I was to pick somebody
would,
out of the field, I'd want it to be Michelle Saltzman.
So it would free up the Senate seat for the next in line who would otherwise want to be in Congress to go be in the Senate, that they might have those aspirations.
I would assume, and I've not talked to anybody about this, I would assume everybody would be giving Senator Gaetz the right of first refusal. And you would not be seeing Frank White, Michelle Salzman, some
talking
of these people moving forward without having spoken to him first to make sure that he is he's not, you know, actively pursuing
interested,
that option. So I think it's a safe assumption. The people who are kind of in the know would have had that conversation before going out and saying, I'm moving forward in this process.
You know, and one of the things that occurred to me earlier this morning, I said, was, what you kind of have is sort of three groups of people. You have the people who are interested and have enough connection to really make a good go at it. Okay. Frank White, Ashton Hayward, I think Nathan Boyle's in that, Michelle Salzman. I think these are all people who are in that list. Chip, who's now said he doesn't want it, Chip Simmons, which is no surprise. Then you have the people who could make a go of it but aren't interested. Okay. And then you have a group of people who really don't have any chance but don't know it.
Yeah.
and really think, oh, it might be me. And what I think you're going to see, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong about this, Jeremy, is if anybody starts to act over the next couple of days before Trump says who he wants, or before Matt, who will say whatever Trump, I'm sure the same thing, anybody like that announces is absolutely not going to win it. They are on the outside, they're deluded, and they think they can take this thing without the connections.
So you're saying I should disband my exploratory committee?
But I think there are a lot of those people, who I don't want to name names particularly, but there are people who come to mind immediately for me who I think they have a chance. And it shows that they don't have a chance because they might announce in the next couple.
And
all the serious candidates are waiting.
And there are people in our community who are behind the scenes political, have had, people. For instance, there's a gentleman who lives in Walton County, was Peter Thiel's partner in PayPal, has kind of been behind the scenes for a long time, but has never run for office. I don't know of a specifically this person, but somebody with a bio, maybe a former Blue Angel pilot who is big on the, you know, believes in the Make America Great Again movement and maybe behind the scenes has said some things.
Right.
Because you've seen throughout our state, there have been non-political people who have gotten into politics as part of this Donald Trump movement, have had very, very strong success. So there could be somebody that none of us at this table know, who knows some people, has donated some money, some things like that, who have a resume.
Oh my God, you're killing me. I have a person in mind that I don't want to say.
Yeah.
And
it's okay. So, you can endorse me. No, Andrew. It's all right. I'll accept Valentino. Your endorsement.
No, that's not who I had in mind. Not that, by the way, I suspect there are that he is very, I haven't talked to Gene, but I assume he's interested.
He's commented that he's interested.
Yeah. Let's
just go let Doug Underhill run too.
I think that Doug would have the interest. Maybe.
Oh, he'd absolutely be interested.
You know, and the question is, well, you know,
would he have a snowball's chance of being elected?
You say that, but win twice convincingly, yeah. And then he left. And, you know, so anyway, I think that we are not going to see the serious candidates come forward until Trump says who he wants it to be. And until he says it, and then you won't get that. So I don't think there's going to be more than one serious candidate.
My prediction is you're not going to see a six-candidate race where the candidate, like six serious candidates, and whoever wins with 23% of the vote.
It'll be one person with a real chance and maybe several other people who are deluded.
I'm just now thinking, now you've got me thinking of all the various characters. I'm trying to say this as nicely as possible. All the various characters we've seen come through area politics in the past 20 years, and
there's a lot.
I don't want to say names because I'll get myself in trouble.
No, I understand the impulse. Hey, let's take a quick, we're talking to Julio Diaz and Jeremy Evans here in studio with me for the wrap. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
No accidents or backups to let you know about. Everything is flowing smoothly on I-10, I-110. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. There's nothing to be done about CSX. Is there even anything to be done? At least, I will say this, at least this year, they have given some information out that's been mostly reliable about a day ahead through Escambia County staff that's been available, that I've been able to, you know, get, that has been helpful to people, but it's a little bit better than it was in 2016. It's a little bit faster than it was in 2016, but this is unbelievable. What they can do to this community.
I don't know how hard it would be. You know, they put up those signs at Flash and say, there's your train crossing,
here,
road
right.
will be closed from, they'll put it up a week ahead of time on highways and things like that to put something up to say, this will be closed from.
They've got a handful of them that they've put up in a couple of, but I'm like, so they had a marker up on Hancock that it was going to be closed on, I think Tuesday, if I remember correctly. But no sign on 9 Mile, no sign on Airport, Hancock's an important crossing, but it's not that important compared.
Yeah. I was supposed to have a doctor's appointment on Wednesday morning over on 9 Mile. They moved into the old movie theater there 9 Mile.
Oh, God, right.
And I, not only could you not cross there, to find a crossing to get around that, I missed my doctor.
You could have parked on this side and just walked.
Yeah, I called him and said, I'm sorry, I can't get there.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to get there without going way out of the way. So.
I don't even live anywhere where I directly go across the tracks on a regular basis, and I still saw the traffic repercussions all the way up at like Olive and Ninth.
It's horrendous. Yeah. And I remember it was like this before, but it was, you know. And of course, here's the thing I keep thinking is, okay, this gradually moving north, it's going to get to Alabama. You know, the Escambia County effects are going to be over within a week, you know, thankfully. But and right now they're not bad because everything's open. But this is going to happen again in 8 years. Apparently, that's the schedule, 8 years, because it's 8 years to the month that it happened before. Are we going to have a plan for 8 years from now?
I don't know, but you know who's the happiest about this? Skanska. Everybody has forgotten how much they hated Skanska.
In 8 years.
Have they?
In 8 years, we won't need roads.
Oh, wow. There you go. All right, Doc Brown.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
I love it. All right, last topic for the day. I mentioned some of these nominees. Okay. Oh, no, you know what? Let's do something that I know both of you are interested in. The Onion bought InfoWars.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thoughts?
I cannot wait to view InfoWars content anchored by their new hosts, Move B, Love Me. Looking forward to it. I think this is brilliant. I think it is the ultimate.
I mean,
but you got to think
it's the ultimate troll of the ultimate troll.
Right. Well, you got to think that the natural audience, whatever that might still be for InfoWars, is not going to stick around for The Onion.
Yeah.
Unless they really.
I mean, it would have been better. It would have been better, just business wise, synergy wise, if it had been the Babylon Bee that had purchased them,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to The Onion,
or not the Bee, or yeah. you know, right, or even. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of surprised you didn't have any major, you know, super right, you know, yeah. like Newsmax or somebody try.
Apparently, Jones himself tried, and the families decided they would take a lower offer specifically to prevent Jones from buying it.
Interesting.
So yeah, there was a factor.
He tried to offload it, and nobody was interested in that. Okay. Yeah. Very good. So prediction, by the way, tonight is both Mike Tyson, or are you going to go with Jake Paul?
Oh no, it's Tyson.
Yeah. So all that was talk before. Okay, fair enough. I like it. All right, Jeremy, Julio, thanks so much for the time this morning. Everybody have a great weekend. Go Argos. We'll see you Monday.